Good morning, church. Welcome back to our second in a series on the destruction of the temple, end of the age. I'd like to read the scripture from Luke chapter 21, verses 20 to 31. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring of the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on in the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray your Holy Spirit will own these words and provide them for all truth for your church here this morning. We thank you for being there for us with your Holy Spirit, helping us, guiding us through your scriptures, teaching us, equipping us. And we just pray, Lord, for open hearts and minds this morning, that we will all receive your words, take them into our hearts, and apply them in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, let's continue our study of chapter 21 with the destruction of the temple and the end of the age, part 2. In review, chapter 21, verses 6 through 7, has given us the reason for this passage of Scripture. The disciples remarked about what a wonderful building the temple was, and Jesus told them it was going to come tumbling down. Verses 8 through 11, Jesus issues a warning about not being misled by false teachers or upset by great calamities. Verses 12 through 19, he gave them clear instructions about the persecution they would experience in light of the destruction that was about to come. Having told them what would take place prior to the destruction of the temple, he comes in verse 20 to address the specific questions the disciples asked in verse 7. Teacher, they ask, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place? Verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that the desolation is near. Jesus had already mentioned this, a few pages back in our Bibles in chapter 19, in verses 41 to 44. Verse 41. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not let one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." In these verses, back in chapter 19, Jesus is prophesying what was going to happen to Jerusalem because of their failure to recognize and accept God's salvation. The people had at their disposal all of the Old Testament scriptures and prophecy. They had benefited from all that the prophets had said. They had listened to Jesus preaching and teaching for 3 years. They had observed his miracles and heard him testify to his being the Son of God. In light of all that, they had turned their backs on him and sought to put him to death. In verse 21, we see the armies approaching the city. It's time to leave. Notice that in Jesus telling them to flee to the mountains, get out of the city, and from outside, don't enter the city, he's not referring to events in the future at the end of the age, but he is describing events that will take place in their lifetime. Secular history of that time, from writers such as Josephus and Eusebius, confirm what took place with the destruction of Jerusalem and the escape of the people. Josephus, for example, records that when Titus besieged the city in AD 70, about 1 million Jews died at that time. Some by way of crucifixion, others the result of famine, while others experienced terrific horrors. Verse 22. "For this is the time of punishment in the fulfillment of all that has been written." Verse 22 speaks of the fulfillment of all the Old Testament, all that has been written. This refers to various judgments on the sins of the people down through the centuries. Some of these judgments are ultimately fulfilled, I think, in AD 70. Verse 23 tells us that the days will be so bad, instead of motherhood being a joy and a blessing, it will be a curse and source of affliction. To get a feel for how devastating this period was, let's turn back in the Old Testament to chapter 28 in Deuteronomy and the word of God to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, while Jesus may not be specifically referring to this passage here, some of these judgments seem to line up with the extreme desolation that occurred in AD 66 through 70. Listen to these words. Rather than read the whole chapter, I'm going to pick a few verses here for you to get the idea. In chapter 28, starting in verse 13 through 20, "The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them." Now you have these curses for disobedience. Verse 15, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God, and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him." Now verse 25, "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies." Verse 30 and 31, "You will be pledged to, to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned." Verse 45, "All of these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever." And then five truly troubling verses, starting in verse 53. "Because of the suffering that your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb, the flesh of the sons and daughters the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother, or the wife he loves, or his surviving children. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will induce on you during the siege of all your cities. The most gentle woman and the most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son and daughter the afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears. For she intends to eat them secretly during the siege and in the distress that your enemy will inflict on you in your cities." What a shocking passage of Scripture. A passage of Scripture that we might prefer not be in the Bible. What are we to say about such revelations? Well, God doesn't hold anything back in his description of mankind. This passage, as well as every verse in the Bible, is inspired by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit himself. All of God's revelation is useful for training, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the end, we would have to say God has a purpose for these words. Jesus is telling them to make a run for it, because it's really going to be bad. And in verse 24, Jesus says, if you choose to fight, you will be killed or scattered as exiles. The history of the judgments that occurred to the Jewish people in their temple and city after Jesus had been rejected by them provide for us a large warning to all individuals and nations who rebel against God and refuse to believe in his Son. A warning that God, when he speaks about judgment, means what he says. For those who doubt that God will bring his wrath against those who are against him, the Bible says, look at what happened to the temple and answer this question. Did it happen as he said? Yes, it did. The Jews were scattered to the four corners of the world. No other people on the face of the earth have ever suffered as much as the Jew. Verse 23 tells us, there will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. That brings us to verses 25 through 28. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity against the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. We need to ask ourselves, is this more information about the destruction in AD 70, as some commentators suggest? Or is what we have in these verses sort of a follow-up on what we had in verses 8 through 11, when we attributed that to the end of the age? If we look at verses 8 through 11, we see, for example, we hear of wars and revolutions. Nations will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and the fearful events of great signs from heaven. Sounds quite similar to these verses in 25 through 28. Remember, one of the difficulties in translating and trying to understand the Olivet Discourse in chapter 21 of Luke is the telescoping, the moving back and forth between AD 70 and the end of the age. One great commentator, one of my favorites, Sinclair Ferguson, essentially says he can't say what it means. He can't be sure. There is certainly much disagreement on this subject between many respected Bible scholars. While certainly not professing to be a Bible scholar, Let me stand on the shoulders of some solid, respected commentators and give you my humble take on verses 25 through 28. It seems like verses 25 through 28 take us back to 8 through 11. There seems to be a difference between the reference in verse 23, which says, "There will be a great distress in the land and wrath against this people," and the more general statement in verse 26 that says, "Men," meaning men in general, "will faint from terror." Then in verse 35, it says, "For it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth." And of course, we know that the destruction of the temple did not come on all of those who lived on the face of the earth. It was a localized destruction of the city. Seems like verses 25 through 28 take us forward to the end of the age, when it's talking about roaring and tossing of the sea, signs in the sun, moon, and stars. Heavenly bodies will be shaken. This seems like a complete disruption of nature as we know it. Whatever is holding everything together will be in chaos. This reminds me of what Paul had to say to the Colossians while discussing the supremacy of Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him." And of course, that is controversial with the scientific experts today who would not accept what I just read there from the scripture. Verse 17, "He," meaning Christ, "is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So that person then comes up to you doubting scripture, but ask, "I wonder what is holding everything together in this world." You can take him to Colossians 1, verse 17, and give him the answer. Leave it to the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul for the answers. When you see these things happening, in other words, when Christ chooses to take his hands off the steering wheel, you know that the kingdom of God is near. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28 back in our scripture today, "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." In other words, those believing in Christ at that time are to stand up and lift their heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Verses 29 to 30. He told them this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. We can be sure of these things, referring to the events at the end of the age, just like the sprouting of leaves announced the coming of summer. The summer follows the leaves without any other season coming between. Jesus implies for us the certainty of those events and outcome at the end of the age as surely as what occurred in the destruction of the temple in AD 70. What he has said will happen. We can take it to the bank. As a side note, I think verses 25 through 26 seem to parallel the passage found in Revelations chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. I saw as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth as late figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll, rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and princes and generals, the rich and mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks in the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Well, that brings us to verse 32 in our scripture here in Luke, probably the hardest verse in the chapter to figure out. We'll save that for next week. Let us pray. Father God, these are troubling times. We pray for unity and peace, a peace that starts within each of us, without waiting for the next to comply. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.